Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 160 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling Name That Wheat Industry Challenge, an episode that includes multiple interviews I did with attendees at the Tri-State Grain Growers Convention held at the Grand Hotel in downtown Spokane. I was a young reporter in Fairbanks, Alaska, when I was handed my first man-on-the-street interview. There was an issue the editor wanted me to ask an array of people about in the simplest way possible, by approaching them as they walked down the street. For adventurous souls who venture into the Wheat All About It archive, let it be known the last man-on-the-street I conducted before this episode was episode 50, entitled Voices from the 2017 Tri-State Grain Growers Convention. It's available by going to the Washington Grain Commission website at wagrains.org, clicking on podcast summaries at the bottom of the page, and navigating back into time. If you're relatively new to the podcast, there's hours of wheat-centric information and entertainment only a few clicks away on your smartphone or computer. There are hazards in conducting a man-on-the-street interview. One of the primary ones is that while all people have opinions, it's difficult for most to assemble them on cue, especially with a microphone perched beneath their nose. Which is why prior to the convention, I asked around the Washington Grain Commission office what my colleagues thought were the major challenges facing the Pacific Northwest wheat industry. With their input, I came up with a list of 7 challenges. In no particular order, they are dams and transportation, weed resistance, glyphosate turmoil, wheat prices, GE wheat discoveries, markets and trade, input costs. I typed up this list on a sheet of paper and presented it to the people I was interviewing, asking them to choose their top 3 challenges and explain why. I also included an other category if my list didn't cover everything, and in one case it did not. Let me repeat the list of challenges again. Dams and transportation, weed resistance, glyphosate turmoil, wheat prices, GE wheat discoveries, markets and trade, input costs. A man-on-the-street interview may not be a representative sample, but I do think it serves to get people thinking about the issues important to them, and I hope to podcast listeners. I conducted the following interviews over 4 days during the convention. I interviewed Ritzville wheat farmer and state senator Mark Schessler during the second day. He was sitting in the lobby of the hotel checking his phone when I pounced. I've started with Senator Schessler in the podcast poll position because as the only farmer in the state legislature, he's on the tip of one kind of spear.
Of the list we're looking at, dams and transportation have suddenly risen to the top 3. I think I would lump prices and markets and trade all together because they're really one. And of course, our input costs.
And I've had several people mention input costs. Can you articulate that a little bit more?
Well, input costs go up regardless of commodity prices. And if I look at my insurance bill, fuel, fertilizer, ag chemicals, machinery, parts, they're all going up consistently. Unfortunately, our wheat market, as you know, has been rather flat the last couple of years.
You put dams and transportation at the top of your list. You know, I've been talking to people here, and there has been some consideration that we need to have some kind of a media push to get our point of view across to the general public. Do you think that we're really going to change minds out there?
I really think that we have to have the attitude the timber industry shared with me decades ago. You are in a permanent offense on public relations. I think that our friends in the Tri-Cities and the Pullman-Clarkston area did a really good thing this year with their legislative and staff tours. We had people that were okay with looking at breaching that dam, but they also had never seen one of the locks before. They had never seen the economy of the river. There's a lot of things that you can educate urban people on, people with other different politics, but you have to show and tell. And I learned from my friends in timber long ago, never quit telling your story. Never quit telling your successes.
I hadn't seen Perry Dozier in years when he reintroduced himself to me before the big dinner and auction. Dozier, who hails from Walla Walla County, was a reluctant president of the Washington Association of Wheat Growers when I met him in the late 1990s, but he grew into the job, and I believe it was his WOG stint that gave him the confidence to continue on to bigger things, like his 2 terms on the Walla Walla County Commission. In November of 2019, he announced he's running for the Washington State Senate from the 16th District. He had a ready answer when I asked him about his top challenges.
I believe dams and transportation right now in eastern Washington have a tremendous effect on us to move our product. Without these 3 modes of transportation that we have here in eastern Washington, those being roads, rails, and rivers, if we lose rivers, we are really crippled with the amount of rail that we can use, and then we're relying on roads. The cost of moving our products is going to be astronomical. It's going to be difficult for us to move the amount of grain that we need to move. I think another one is wheat prices. We seem to be in a downturn longer than what I've seen over my last 25, 30 years of farming. The cycle used to be 3 or 4 years at the most. It seems like we're in a 5-year cycle right now. I understand where our administration is going, and I applaud what they're trying to do with some of the trade issues, but it still is not showing its effect for our prices going up. I know that we have a lot of surplus on the market, but we need to be operating above break-even prices, and we aren't right now, and it's really putting a toll on our communities. And I think the last one obviously falls right in with that is markets and trade. I'd almost throw input costs in that, because you put those together and you couple that with a low price of wheat but the growing price of inputs, and again, that just brings that, I can't even say it's called a profit margin anymore. Farmers cannot cannibalize their operations when they are trying to stay in business. It cripples us. We cannot do that.
Gordon Gallup is a southern Idaho farmer who has been involved in wheat industry leadership for years. I became familiar with Gallup when he chaired U.S. Wheat Associates' Hard White Wheat Committee. As you'll hear in the next 2 interviews, the fate of the dams is not just something that farmers who move their grain on the river are concerned about.
Okay, right now, I'm going to look at number one. It would probably be the infrastructure with our dams and the transportation, getting our exports out, and that's going to become huge. They won't let that one go. The glyphosate issue concerns me quite a bit, because it's just out there all the time now, and there's no backing till we know that, but that's not what it takes to get rid of glyphosate, so I worry about that one. And then our wheat prices right now, they're killing us. Yeah, and we're back in prices that we got back in the 80s, but nothing cost what it did in the 80s, so that really concerns me. We've got to balance this out somehow.
Let's go back to the dams and transportation. It would take a congressional appropriation to breach the dams. Do you really think that we are in a position where we need to be concerned about the loss of the dams?
Yeah, I've been involved with these organizations for about 25 years now, and they just attack the dams at a different angle every time it comes around. And I'm just afraid of one of these times they're going to get somebody's attention and it's going to happen. But we can't let it happen. There's just too much commerce on that river. It just cannot happen. But, yeah, I'm just scared to death that somebody's going to pull the right trigger on the right person at the right time, and we lose those. And being from southeast Idaho, you wouldn't think I would be concerned with that. But, when 50% of our grain comes down that river, that's huge to us. And we physically don't have enough trucks or trains to get us, to the market. So I'm very concerned.
Clark Hamilton, who serves on the Idaho Wheat Commission, is also from southern Idaho. His list of challenges have a familiar ring.
I think dams and transportation would have to probably top my list on this. Markets and trade would be second. Input costs would be there for me as well.
And can you explain a little bit about the dams and transportation? Where do you live?
I live in southeast Idaho, but most of our wheat is used domestically. but half of Idaho's wheat is exported. So the river system is essential to Idaho moving out wheat, which directly affects our market in southeast Idaho. So as farmers, export wheat to the Port of Portland is critical. So what else are we talking about here? Second one was markets and trade, so that fits all into that. Being able to compete in a world economy and all of those things that go into it are critical to us because we rely on, like I said, half of it is exported.
Okay, and you also, your third one was input prices. Now, I'm wondering, you know, we had a big run-up in input prices when we had a big run-up in wheat prices in the 2008-2012 time frame. Have you seen any decline in input prices since wheat prices have declined?
Yes, to answer that question, yes, we've seen decline, but the problem with that is when our commodity prices ran up, so did the input prices, and I feel like there's a lot of things that would help that, and more competition in manufacturing, I think, would help that, and so I think we need to look at some of the regulation that our government puts on people.
Next up, Brent Sheen, an Oregon wheat farmer currently serving as an officer on the National Association of Wheat Growers. Sheen also puts dams and rivers at the top of his list of challenges, but far from being repetitive, his responses, like those of the other men, build upon and fill out a bigger picture. You'll also hear Sheen mention the issue of glyphosate turmoil, only he uses the farmer abbreviation, glyphos. Whatever you call it, it is the active ingredient most closely associated with the herbicide Roundup.
On your list here, I would say dams and transportation, the glyphos turmoil, and markets and trade.
Okay, can you explain those answers?
Well, the dams and transportation, I feel that our whole soft white industry is wrapped around the dams and the locks and the affordable transportation on the Snake and Columbia River system, and I can't even begin to describe how much more rail system you would need to replace the barges. It just wouldn't be pretty. And as for the glyphos, let's face it, for the first time since industrial farming began, we're building topsoil instead of losing it. We're keeping the dust out of the air and the dirt out of the water. We're improving water quality and wildlife habitat, and we're leaving a lot of carbon in the ground, and we're using a lot less fuel to produce that food because of Roundup. And other than that, markets and trade, I think it's vastly important that we continue to build our markets, protect our market and our access to markets, because let's face it, without the market, there's no point in us raising the crop.
Randy Cease, former Whitman County wheat farmer, current Whitman County landlord, continues to be a presence in Eastern Washington wheat circles, and to that I say amen. Cease was a terrific representative for wheat farming to the general public during his years serving on the Washington Grain Commission. Ironically, now that he's retired, Cease is still speaking out as a member of the board of the electrical cooperative Inland Power. Although his focus has changed, his interest in maintaining the dams continues.
When I see your list here, the ones that really affect me the most is making these dams, especially now, you know, I'm not growing the wheat anymore, but I'm an electric cooperative board, so I kind of look at that challenge from a different perspective than the wheat industry, but it's so vitally important to us. I mean, we have the cheapest electrical rates in the entire nation because of those dams, and I realize solar and wind are getting more and more popular, but you know, that water spin in those turbines runs nonstop, 24 hours a day, and that's pretty important to the whole area. And what people didn't realize was last March, when we had all the excess spill going over the dams, we had days when the sun wasn't shining, we had days when the wind wasn't blowing, BPA almost ran out of electricity. And now with all the population moving into our area now, there's going to be a bigger and bigger demand for electricity. And where are we going to get it from? You know, somebody's going to make a killing, I think, somewhere in the future because of battery technology, but we're not there yet. We don't have a way of storing that solar and wind power. And when we do, maybe we'll solve this other issue. But for right now, we got to keep those dams in place just to make sure that we have enough electricity for everybody.
I conducted all of these interviews before the preliminary trade agreement between China and the U.S. was announced, as well as the affirmative USMCA vote in the House. Perhaps those events would have changed perceptions of the market and trade category, but I'm betting until farmers see more cash in their pockets, they'll continue to rank the trade challenge high. Howard McDonald from Douglas County is vice president of the Washington Association of Wheat Growers, but I got to know him far from Washington State when we were both in Washington, D.C. for meetings a couple of years ago. At a dinner that was arranged as an opportunity to chat with congressional staffers, I sat next to McDonald and we hit it off. McDonald's put trade and markets in the number one position of his concerns, but when I listened to his answer again, I heard how he qualified it. Right at this moment, indeed.
Right at this moment, probably market and trade. And
why would you say that?
Because there's so much uncertainty. You know, they talked the talk for the last 3 years, and we haven't got any closer, that I know of anyway. And it's just frustrating, you know. Bankers want to know, you know, what we're going to do, and the price keeps going down, and it took a big hit today. So that's probably my main concern. There's a lot of wheat on the market right now.
Okay, so what else?
Well, I'm going to say our input costs, our value of our product, which is some of the best in the world, but it's going down, and our input costs are going up all across the board, from healthcare to machinery to fuel, everything. So I have to date myself. I'm going to get off on a little bit of a rant here, but back in the 70s, our first Steiger we bought for $22,000. The next year it went to $5, the wheat did. That same tractor was $42,000. And that's what you see in the wheat industry, in ag industry.
What's your third priority?
I am going to say probably glyphosate. So,
And go into a little bit more of an explanation. Why glyphosate?
Well, it's one of our major tools. And there's the younger generation. They don't know how to farm without glyphosate. And personally, I could do it. I could pull the scrap iron off the scrap pile and make it work. But these young kids, they don't know how to do it. So it's a major tool.
Gary Bailey has been chairman of the Washington Grain Commission for 2 years, and I've worked with him closely during that time. I found him to be a thoughtful, plain-spoken individual, not given to extravagant language. In other words, he calls them like he sees them. And he saw trade and markets as a particular challenge when we spoke.
I'd say the one on my mind right now is markets and trade. I think we're making a lot of progress in that area, but it remains to be seen how that all filters out. So I think that would be number one. Dams and transportation are on my mind right now. Gosh, it seems like the environmental community is gaining a lot of traction in the Snake and Columbia River Dam situation, and we need to be vigilant in our message that is fact-based instead of emotion-based and get that word out there. Third one I'm going to say is probably glyphosate turmoil. And that kind of goes in with weed resistance as well. Glyphosate has done more to protect our environment than any chemical that has been around since I started farming. So it's a safe chemistry, and we need to get the message out there so that we're able to keep it for the long term.
Let's swing back around to dams and transportation. Do you really believe that the dams are in jeopardy? I mean, they're federal dams. It takes federal action. Are they in jeopardy?
I used to have the opinion that they're not in jeopardy because of just what you said. But if you look at the political climate across the country and how how their voice is. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't get some traction on this. So we got to be vigilant in that message, in our message.
Bill Flory has a distinctive voice and a distinctive point of view, choosing as his number one challenge issues surrounding the potential loss of glyphosate and weed resistance issues, not to mention GE weed escapes. Here again, he uses the abbreviation GLYPHOS for glyphosate.
If you want to talk challenges, you want to talk areas where there's a lot of unknowns and could have a major impact, and I'd say on the whole Roundup issue, losing GLYPHOS for those of us in the Northwest in a direct seed situation, which I've been in for over 25 years, high level resistance to particular plants I don't have any, and I think part of that's because I haven't cut rates, but resistance of other species, and two, any outbreak of the contamination of the wheat supply by some stray genetically engineered wheat, which I don't think is going to happen. It's been very, very, very small and very, very, very isolated. I don't think it's an issue. I'm way more worried of reoccurring. I'm way more concerned about resistance in cropping systems, you know, and losing Roundup GLYPHOS because of international lawsuits and Bayer saying enough's enough.
Steve Claussen served on the Washington Grain Commission board for many years, and it was my distinct pleasure to work with him during much of that time. In Grain Commission discussions, you could often depend upon Claussen to voice the most trenchant yet commonsensical comments, sort of like he did when I asked him about today's wheat farming challenges.
The usual: price, overproduction, cost of inputs, trying to make some sort of a margin at the end of the day.
Okay, and are you making a margin at the end of the day?
Depends on the year. You know, there's years when we're doing that, and there's years when we're not doing that. So need to have just a little bit of a cushion.
Now, you're down in Clarkston, so you're right there on the river. You probably send your wheat down the river.
We depend on that transportation. Our farm looks right into the terminals where they load wheat. A lot of times our wheat will go off of our combines, and we'll be on a barge within 45 minutes and heading down the river. It's huge for us. I couldn't imagine any other way. The advocates to remove the dams are getting all the press. The newspapers and the media are not given our side of the story much press. It's always the advocates, the pictures, everything in the magazines and stuff tend to lead to the advocate side. So one of our biggest things is we need to get out through social media or whatever it's going to take to this next generation of producers, through whatever kind of a technological media, to reach people outside of our little 2% ag involvement.
I've known Paul Gross for a long time, and I'm always pleased to run into him at some agricultural event or another. Gross is farm manager at the Spokane Hutterian Brethren, a title more akin to CEO anywhere else. Blunt, with an eye to the bottom line, Gross quickly dispatched his industry top three challenges.
Oh, I'd say low prices is number one. Number two is glyphosate turmoil. Number three, I'd say markets and trade.
Okay, so talk to me about prices. I mean, I'm talking to people. They tell me they're not making a lot of money, but they're not underwater either.
The only reason they're not underwater is because they have above average crops. But if we had average crops, we'd be underwater.
Okay, okay. And so the glyphosate turmoil, tell me about that. Why is that one of your picks?
Because the public thinks we're trying to kill them. and yet we're not. I mean, glyphosate, in all reality, has provided food for half the people in the world. And if you don't like glyphosate, you might as well say half the people in the world should be dead.
Finally, I close with Wally Powell of Condon, Oregon, who serves on the Oregon Wheat Commission. Walter, to those who don't know him, has a keen intellect whose natural environment is outside the box. He was the only person I presented my list of challenges to who came up with one that I missed.
Climate adjustment.
Climate adjustment?
Yep.
Explain that.
It appears we've headed into a cycle of warmer winters, which enhance disease and weed pressures. More climatic events are more dramatic than they used to be. Greater variability. I think that's probably number one in my book. Number two, right now, coming from a commission standpoint, would be markets and trade. We have already been impacted by our Chinese negotiations. We could be impacted in any of other countries, and that's what the commission's focus on. And thirdly, I would say the glyphosate turmoil and weed resistance, but in particular, weed resistance from the standpoint of lack of availability of alternatives to control our weed pressures under direct seeding. I think climate adjustments that are going to be required, just in terms of varieties. Are we into a situation where varieties moving forward that were used in Oregon in the past are now going to be used further into Washington? Where are our May-June rains going to, that we really need to make a crop in the lower rainfall zones in particular? Are those May-June rains that might come every 3 or 4 years, are they going to continue to come every 3 or 4 years? With all of this, there's an opportunity. You've been around this business as long as I have, and you can't get stuck with a crisis. You have to look at it from the standpoint of an opportunity. Where's opportunity in front of me?
Where is opportunity in front of me? That sounds like a good topic to discuss at next year's Tri-State Grain Growers Convention, which will take place at the Coeur d'Alene Resort. Make your plans now to kill two birds with one stone. A second honeymoon, and pesticide credits. I hope you enjoyed episode 160 of Weed All About It, or what I called Name That Weed Industry Challenge, about my interviews with Pacific Northwest farmers about what they consider to be the top three challenges facing the weed industry. I have photos of many of the individuals I interviewed on the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page. Check them out, and while you're at it, please follow the WGC page as yet another way to ensure you never miss an episode of Weed All About It.
You think we're simple, you think we're not right. Look at your cities and ask yourself who's right. We've got country and you've got crime. We've got green and you've got grime. Let there be no doubt, we have what it takes to till the soil until our back aches. Just give us a break and don't be so rude. We love the work and you love the food.
We feed you.